Okay, hang on, you're on.
Okay, I'm about to start my lecture. And please ask questions during the lecture. When I give my lecture at OU, I allow students to ask me anything they want to ask me, if it's on topic, at least. So I have sheets, a whole little packet of sheets, and I by the way, my name is Ruben Wolfeld. I forgot to introduce myself. I thought, Jakob, you were going to introduce you, but that's okay. We're friends. We have Shabbos lunches and dinners a lot of times. Yeah, I'm going to pass it out. Don't worry. You want to pass it out for me? Okay, great. So here's a bunch. There's, I at least made 15, so I think there's less than that here, so that's good. All right. So
do you want to give you an introduction?
I'm sorry?
I'll give you an introduction.
Okay.
You live in Yerushalayim, Talpiot Mizrach. You teach at the OU Center Gematria. You have a page on JerusalemCats.com under Gematria Cats.
Right.
You do Torah codes.
Good.
And you have a book out.
Right, that's enough.
And the name of the book is?
It's not. It's 2005 edition. It's at Pomeranz Bookstore. I don't have any more copies of myself except one. And it's called, what is the name of the book? I can't remember the name of my own book. This is terrible. I wasn't ready for that in my lecture. It's called
Truth in Numbers.
Truth in Numbers. Thank you. That's the name of the book. He knows because he's got a copy. Yeah. Truth in Numbers. Thank you. Makes sense. Truth in Numbers, since I do numbers. Okay. That question I couldn't answer. Everything else I could. I don't know my address either. I don't know my phone number. All right. At any rate, so I decided to start out with something about Rabbi Nachman, since you are a Rabbi Nachman from Yeshiva. And I don't know a lot about Rabbi Nachman, but I decided to take a line which is from a very famous song that was made famous way after Rabbi Nachman was Nifter, many, many years after. I don't know when exactly wrote it, but for 30 years, they've been singing this song. I'm not going to sing it. I won't bore you with the singing. Oops, wrong sheet. I got the wrong sheet. Okay. So I better have my sheet from my shear. I have the terror track on the train, and that I don't want. Thank you. Okay, I'll just use that, except I do have one with a mark a little on, so I think I'd rather use that one.
The trip is a go, by the way. We're going on the trip.
I'm sorry? I mean, I'll just use this one, I guess. Oh, that's mine. Nope, not mine.
We're going on a trip.
All right, that was because you told me to do the terror one on the bus, but I didn't do that on the train. All right, the whole world is a very narrow bridge. You probably know the song, right? It's actually a line from Rabbi Nachman, because he says this, one of his themes. And he says, Kol ha'olam kulo, it's on the top of your page, gesher sar meod va'ikar lo lefakid klal, which means basically the whole world is a very narrow bridge, and the main thing is not to be afraid of anything. And this, of course, means amuna. So I decided that, since I do Gematrian codes, there must be something, since Rabbi Nachman is such a sage, there must be something within this line in Gematrian codes. And I was actually surprised that there was as much in here as I found, and it only took me about a day to find this. So it wasn't even very hard to find. So first of all, let's look at the first three words of the line. So it says, Kol ha'olam kulo, that's equal to 263. Alone, that's not a very meaningful gematria, although certainly you could find phrases in the Torah that were equal to that. I didn't bother to do that. But the last three words, so we're doing a symmetry here. We have three words at the front and three words at the back. The whole world, and then don't be afraid of anything in the world, essentially. And that's 233, which is already important as a number 233, the last three words, lo lefaked klal, because it's equal to Eitz HaChaim. Eitz HaChaim is exactly 233. It's also related Kabbalistically to, actually it's a Fibonacci sequence, this is mathematics, related to the distance between our head and our shoulders and the eyes and the stomach, etc. All of our body That's why we sacrifice animals, because they also have this Fibonacci-related sequence. By the way, it's related to Michelangelo, the other one. I forgot the name of the artist. But at any rate, a famous artist, he did pictures, all pictures in the past that are not modern-day pictures, which are splotches on canvas, but the old pictures actually looked like a person, or they looked like a dog, or they looked like a farm, or whatever. And in those pictures, anything with human beings or animals or even plants, it's all in the Fibonacci sequence. And this 233 is the number that's related to that, because it's a number pretty far up into the sequence. At any rate, when we add that 233, the last three numbers, last three words, to the first three words, we get the combined total, which I wrote there, 496. That's famous. 496 is a world in and of itself. It's the world of Malchus. Actually, it's a pointer world. Malchus is in the Sfirot. Real quickly, the Sfirot. Again, need my pen. Here's the pens. Okay, I've pinned myself. I brought my own pens. I mean, I could use that too. But I know these work. You don't have to worry about it running out. And they're they're indelible pens, indelible, whatever it's called, and they won't wreck the board, don't worry. So we have the Sfirot, so I'm going to draw those on the board. So we have Keter. Does everyone in here understand the Sfirot, or know something about the Sfirot in Kabbalah? A little bit, yeah, good. Okay, maybe a lot, maybe more than me. All right, anyway, the top one is called Keter. Then we have the next one, which is called Chachma, and the next one, which is called Bina, and then after that we have two more here. Chesed, Gevura, Teferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, and finally, I don't even have room to write it, Malchus. This is the one I'm talking about right now. So that's the sphere of Malchus, and it points to the world which we are in right now, which is called the Sia, the world of action. So that's there in Rabbi Nachman's line. And it's actually a world. So it makes sense, because he's talking about the whole world. That's our world. And therefore, Malchus makes sense, totally, that it would be there. Not only that, because then we also have the two words after Kol Ha'olam Kulo, which is Gesher Sar, which means what? A narrow bridge. Just plain a narrow bridge. Not a very narrow bridge, because we're not using the word very yet. So Gesher Sar is equal to 793. So I have it down there with its factors. Everybody knows what factors are. 6 is 2 times 3, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, right? So therefore, we break up a number by its multiples. So therefore, 793 is 13 times 61. 13 is the same as Echad. It's also Allah, but here I'm using Echad. And 61 is the same gematria as what? As Ain. Ain is an Ain Sof, or Ain, those are other Ains. Ain Sof is the only one I can think of at the moment. But anyway, anytime we have an Ain, it's equal to 61. So therefore, could actually translate this, even though it's a multiplication and not an addition, we can translate it as there is no one, because there's a narrow bridge. Life's precarious. Maybe there's no God. Of course, Chas v'Shalom, I should say that. But maybe there's no God. We don't know at this point. So therefore, we're saying there is no one. But guess what? Me'od, very, like very much so, the Ha'ikar and the main thing is, and that adds up to 422, which is totally Kabbalistic. It's equal to, first of all, it's equal to the second highest part of Keter, Keter being the sphere right up here. And Keter has two parts to it. One part is called Atid Yamin, Yomin, and the other one is called Erech Anpin, Arich Anpin, actually. Right, which this means the Ancient of Days, and this one means long face, whatever. But the point is the gematrias of these. This one happens to be 422, this one is 696. This is exactly the number we have here. I didn't write that on the page, but I remember now that that was that also. But at any rate, it's equal to, beyond that, it's equal to factoring 17 times 26. What is 17? Good. 17 is the gematria of Tov. And 26 is, of course, the gematria of Yud-Kevav-Ke God. So they're Hashem. So therefore, what does it say? Don't worry, it's a narrow bridge. Hashem's good. And you're going to have everything in this world. Just don't be afraid of anything. That's Emunah. That's exactly one of the main theses of who? Rabbi Nachman, right? That's what's there in gematria. Not only that, let's look at code. So code, Do you guys know about code also? Equal letter skips and all that? I don't know what the students know, so that's why I'm asking the question. So, Yaakov, you've been in my class, but you learned Torah codes here also a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
Or you've seen Torah codes? Okay, well, let me just quickly explain code. So, we'll look at one that's down there. So, look at the line, the same line we're talking about. And in there, I'm going to go to the second line now, past the first one with the underline. And I'm looking at the word tzedek. So you see in there at Sadi, I made it bold, very bold. It's in the middle of the line. It's got Shalem backwards before that. But after that, it's got a Sadi, a Dalet, and a Kuf. I made these letters large. It's up to me to do that. All right, so that's the word Tzedek. Tzedek meaning righteousness. It's coded there. What does it mean it's coded there? If you take the Sadi and you count over five letters, four letters in between, you get to the Dalet. If you count five letters again, you get to the Kuf. Whenever you have an equidistance between lettering like that, that's called the code. You can have it in newspapers, you can have it in books that are in English or in Hebrew or anything that mean nothing. But here, it has a meaning because tzedek, righteousness, this is what Rabbi Nachman talks about. So therefore, it makes sense that it would be here in this part. There's also the word shalem, which I liked, because the mem, the final mem is actually there in the word, although it's a backwards code. We're starting with the shin, then we're counting three letters, we get a lamed, and then finally to the mem. Now, actually, you have to remember this. Anytime you get a code, it doesn't mean anything unless there's a lot of codes, and also maybe some gematria and ramazim, and also that there has to be something in the text that points to or talks about the thing that you are getting. And tzedek, of course, perfectly fits. I don't know if shalem does or not, but shalem means completeness, right? So you could say it's like complete tzedek, but it's not, because these words are not connected with the same skip. So there's just two separate words. Then finally, question, yes?
On this line, so I understand, so you went 7, 3, 3, 2, 5, 5?
I'm sorry, where are we at now?
On the second last line of the code here.
Yeah.
I understand, what's the sequence of the ones that you're picking, the big ones?
All right, how am I finding the big ones?
Right.
First of all, I have a computer program to find them. So I looked at the word tzedek because I thought that's one of Rabbi Nachman's things. Tzedek, I actually looked at tzedek first. That was not there. And then I looked at tzedek, and I was so surprised. It was right there. And then I put in the big letters where those letters are because my computer told me that's where the letters are found. I wrote the program, by the way, that does this also.
You found it in the sequence.
Right, and I also have a database. I made the database for this thing. I typed in kol ha'olam kulo kesher sameod l'ha'ik Lo the Fakir Club didn't take me but 5 minutes to type that in the computer. And the program, then I typed, then I turned on the program, and it gives me back whatever I typed in if it's there. And if it's not there, it's not.
But I don't understand anything about code. But it seems like the code has to be the same sequence or the same amount every five places, every three places.
Is. And look at the shalem there. It's a three-letter skip because the lamed and the mem are both three letters from the letter before. See the shin?
Right.
I'm looking back. It's backwards.
Right
and backwards.
Right.
So count three letters over. What do we come to? To the front. A lamed. And count three letters, we get a mem. It's a different letter skip, admittedly, than the tzedek, but right. It's because it's another code.
Fine,
it's a three-letter skip code. That's what it's called. A three-letter equidistant skip code. That's what you were saying. Right. It's called an ELS sequence in the literature. All right. At any rate, tzedek is there. And then we have the word.
My question is,
yes.
Just out of curiosity.
Okay.
Is your search code that you're using, your program you wrote, is it searching for places or is it searching for words?
It's searching for words. Okay.
And then you look at the word and then see if the place
right, exactly.
Matches up by the...
Exactly. And there has to be, like I say, a lot of them. If I just find one, you looked up in a, let's say, a magazine, and the magazine isn't even talking about dogs, and you somehow find the word dog, which would be very easy, D-O-G, right? In a bunch of words, although G might not be that easy. You would find dog. So what? So the article's talking about a woman in labor. What's that got to do with dogs? Nothing. So it doesn't make any sense, and it means nothing, probably. But if you found dog, 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 and a thing about dog catchers being responsible for their animals or whatever, you know, somewhere in the United States, let's say, and the article is about dogs, and of course that's there directly, but let's say you also found dog like 15 times in that text, then it would be meaningful, because it's talking about dogs. Of course, you're not going to, because in English that's probably nowhere. But in Hebrew, and especially in Torah, Tanakh, it's even in the Talmud, unbelievably, there are codes there also. But I want to get back to the rest of the show.
You do it kind of by your own ruach, by trial and error. See, this might have something in it, so I'm going to type this in to see.
You're correct. I'm looking at it with my own ruach. I'm trying to see what might be there based upon what the text is saying to me.
Okay.
Right, correct. And then I see, and I guess I'm lucky, maybe Hashem, maybe for sure Hashem has helped me, because I find codes. Well, you see what the rest of the shir has, and you're going to see some codes that are unbelievable.
Sorry.
Yes, that's okay.
The first code has nothing to do with the second code? Because
not really.
The first letters?
No, the first code is actually what's called a one skip, meaning the words are actually there. I'm skipping the first one because I want to get these easier ones that are easier to explain, and then I'm going to go back to the first one. With the first one I have up on
the fact that you found Shalem.
Oh, and Tzedek, I'm not sure they have any relationship, except for Shalem is nice because it ends in a final mem, which is rare that it ends in an exact. It could be a regular mem, that would count also. But Shalem in a final mem is really nice that it did that. And Shalem, it means completeness, we should be Shalem. But the next one is, I hope I was okay by answering your question there on that.
No,
yeah.
No. Question.
All right.
The question is, you found the first word, Shalem,
right,
with a...
it's a three-letter scale.
A three-letter code.
Right.
The second one you found with a five-letter code.
Correct.
So you cannot... Can you make a connection between the three-letter... Or they all have to be five?
No, they would all have to be five for them to be stuck together. Unless the codes overlap. If the Shalem, let's say, had the same letter Shin as the Tzedek did, which it doesn't, but let's say it did and they overlapped at a letter or two letters would be even better, then you know there's a connection between the words. Or if it even matches a word that's here with a code letter, that's also a connection, which we're going to see, by the way, in a few minutes. So that's a great question. All right, so then we got all the questions of memory. So we got the word Pakeid. Now, Pakeid means many things. There's Yosef's famous line, Pakadati Pakadati. What does that mean? It means God will surely remember, he says God first, whereas God will surely remember you. This is the code word that Moshe later says in Shmot. So here we have the word Pakeid, but Pakeid also means control. I looked it up. I'm not a Hebrew scholar. I looked up it, and it means the word control. So God's in control. Well, that's the whole Shita here, right? What's the narrow bridge? But who's in charge? God. So don't worry. Because he's in charge all the time. That's great. And anyway, that's Rabbi Nachman. So if you didn't like it because the Rabbi Nachman said it, which you should, of course, but you're going to like it because maybe, because look what's in there. And that's hidden. That means if you say it in Hebrew, which is probably better than saying it in English, the English translation is nice. You can sing the song, the whole world is, but I've only heard the song sung with the Hebrew, right? And again, I'm not going to sing it. I don't want to embarrass myself. All right, now we're going to get to the main shir. So the main shir is called, 4/5 of the Jewish people died in the plague of darkness, which is a classic comment by Rashi, which we're going to read. This is, by the way, the sheet I have from Thinking Outside the Box by Rabbi Jeff Hirschblum for Torah.org. He wrote it for Torah.org many years ago, about 4 or 5 maybe years ago, and I liked it online, so I took it to use as my basis for this year. However, let me paraphrase by saying that Jeff Hirschblum, I do not know him at all. I have no shyness to Jeff. I don't know him, but he seems like a great rabbi, so this is what we're going to read from him. And that's our jumping off point to the Torah codes and gematrias that I have. And it was by he, when Paro sent out the people, that God did not lead them the way of the land of the Plishtim, for it, though it was close. Because he said that the people will have regrets when they see war and they return to Egypt. This is chapter 13, verse 17. It's actually the first pasuk, which has Bashalach, the word in it, of next week's Parsha. Why am I bringing this? Because here, in a pasuk after this, actually two pasukim, I think, one or two pasukim, we're going to have something amazing in the Midrash. So there are several questions that should be asked concerning this verse. We're not going to go so much through the questions. The Midrash Shmos Rabbah 27 says that every portion of the Torah that begins with the word Vayhi, and it was, is a cry of woe. Usually Vayhi just means, and it's going to be, right? Vayhi, like the first, third line of the Torah. Vayomer Elohim, Yehi Or, Vayhi Or. That's a Vayhi, and it means, and there will be, right? Light. God said, let there be light, and there was light, right? But it was here as a cry of woe. Vayhi could also mean, oh, woe. If so, then the verse is stating that Paro was emitting a cry of woe and bemoaning the fact that he sent forth the children of Israel from Egypt. Why would he regret sending them out? Their presence in Egypt caused many plagues to befall the Egyptians. Paro, just a few days earlier, was so anxious to rid himself of the Jews that he did not even allow them to have time to bake bread. Why would he suddenly change his mind? And then it goes through a number of questions beyond that. I want to skip down and get down to the main part, which is this. This three paragraphs later. Why would the Israelites fear going into battle? The other verse right before, the paragraph right before tells you that they went into battle. They went out armed. So here it says, why would they risk going, why would they not want to go into battle? The very next verse after that says, the children of Israel went up from Egypt armed. It seems that they were prepared to wage war if necessary. Rashi, quoting this medrash, the medrash, says that the Hebrew word for armed is kamushim. Can also mean one-fifth, right? Because with the word fumash, right? It can also mean one-fifth. Only one-fifth of the Jews departed from Egypt. Four-fifths had died during the plague of darkness. Why does the Midrash choose to tell us this at this particular point, after the Jews had left Egypt? Why didn't it tell us this in this week's Parsha, in Parsha's Bo, where we have the plague of darkness? Exactly. Why didn't it tell us before this at the plague of darkness? Earlier, the Torah said, earlier is actually in Parsha's Bo, but a little later than the plague of darkness, in chapter 12, related to the matzah and the Pesach that you were talking about before, but it's not the Pesach Sheni, of course. The Torah said that a great multitude of Egyptians accompanied the Israelites when they left Egypt. This is in 12:38. The Targum Yonasan on this says that 2,400,000 Egyptians went out with the children of Israel. We know that only one-fifth of the Jews left Egypt, and that was 600,000 men. Now, the next number they're going to write here is a typo, because they're going to write 6 million. It's really 600,000 again, it should be. So take out one of the zeros. I didn't get rid of the typo. If one-fifth of the Jewish people totaled 600,000, not 6 million, then 2,400,000 had died during the plague of darkness. If you do the math, simple math, you'll find out that if 600,000 are still around, that's one-fifth. Therefore, four-fifths would be 2,400,000. There's an equality somehow of those Jews that died, saying, this says the Midrash, in the plague of darkness, and the Egyptians, the Arab Rav, we're going to talk about that immensely, the Arab Rav, that came out. I didn't know this myself till I read this piece. I did not know it. And I found unbelievable things related to this piece, and we're going to see that coming up. So I'm going to skip the rest of that. You can read more about it. The Arab Rav, of course, not supposedly such nice people, but wait a minute. They did have some merit. What merit? They got to come out with Moshe. Moshe asked Hashem, it's another Midrash, to let these people out. And Hashem acceded and said, yeah, take them with you. Of course, he was going to do that, because it's known from the beginning of creation that this was going to be done. The Arab Rav has importance. I say this tongue-in-cheek, but just like Esav, what do you think the Torah talks? Esav's a Greek, but because the Torah talks about him over and over and over in that part with Yaakov. Why does it go through such length? Because we need to know about our enemies. We need to know about the Ishmaelim too, today. But not only today, all through history, because they're also mentioned in the Torah. They have a place. Evil that they may be sometimes, they have a place. So first of all, we'll go to the plague of darkness. I want to read that from the Pesukim. And your sheet says, locust darkness is the next sheet I want to do. And I'm starting out with locust only because I need one pulsuk from that. And there's another reason for it too. And then going to darkness. And we will be getting a little Kabbalistic in a few minutes. So now we go to the plague of locusts, which is chapter 10, pasuk number 20. I have it here only in Hebrew and my codes, which we'll get to. And I have another code. I had an extra sheet, but oh, maybe it is in here. No, I don't have my sheet with me now. But I know where it is, approximately. At any rate, so we're here in chapter 10, pasuk number 20. So pasuk 20 says like this. But Hashem strengthened the heart of Paro, and he did not send out the children of Israel. That's one of these strengthening of hearts. There's about 10 of them. Actually, 11 if you count the one that when Hashem is telling them. There's 10 of these. This is one of the 10. And this comes right before what? Right before the plague of darkness, which is going to come next. So it's not the plague of locusts, but it's the end of it. The plague of locusts, they're still suffering from that stuff. The locusts are gone, but the plants have been basically destroyed from them. Even everything the hail didn't destroy, this stuff did. But Hashem strengthened his heart and didn't let him out. And then the next lines, I'll read you some of them. Hashem said to Moshe, stretch forth your hand toward the heavens. It's line 21, famous line here. And there shall be darkness upon the land of Egypt. And the darkness will be tangible. You can actually feel it. This is not a darkness like you go into a dark room. It's pretty dark, right? And if you don't have any lights on in the room, room, you probably can't even see your hand in front of your face very well if there's no light at all. If you go into a cave, it's even more like that. I've been in caves. You can't see your, if there's no light, you can't see your hand in front of your face. But that's not the darkness this was. This was worse. This was darkness that somehow they could actually touch. It was so tangible, they could actually grab onto it. The Egyptians couldn't move. In a cave, you can move. They couldn't move from their place because they were afraid. They would trip on something, kill themselves, fall over a cliff, whatever. You know, they wouldn't move from their place, and they stayed there for 3 days. This is the plague that lasts for 3 days, and there was, let me think, this is number 9. So for this plague, the last one there before the 10th, there was no warning. They never were told, I mean, Paro was never told, here you're never going to read any words. It says, Moshe told Paro, guess what? If you don't let my people go, the people of Israel go, I'm going to bring this plague on you, the plague of darkness or whatever. He didn't say it. No warning whatsoever for this plague. This is always true of what? The thirds. The third plague is like this. The sixth plague is like this, and the ninth plague is like that. Say them a portion. And it's true, you can look it up in the text. Anyway, I want to read one more pasuk. So Moshe stretched forth his hand toward the heavens, and there was a thick darkness throughout the land of Egypt for a 3-day period. That's what we said, 3 days. Now, good, thank you. All right. So now, no man could see anything, and of course the Jews have light, and that's what's going to go on to say. Here coded, unbelievable, and it's a backwards code, so again, let me tell you about that. We're reading it from the bottom up. Backwards or forwards, codes are great if they're either way. It's better, of course, if they're forwards, you can read them better, but this is a backwards code. So when I typed it in the computer, I typed it actually in backwards, and that was there. Unbelievable. And what's the word? First of all, let me tell you, the kuf on the bottom, and I made this real, 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 real bold. The kuf on the bottom, right, is really a hey, because it's part of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. It's sitting in that word, right, in that God's name. So it's really a hey. It's not a kuf, but I have to make it a kuf because we shouldn't be writing, even in codes, God's name, or at least my rabbi told me that. So I believe that's true. All right, so we've got a kuf. So it spells out the word heim, and even got a final mem there too. The next one is a final mem again, not necessary, but it is. Anyway, heim, mate. Somebody's dead. They are dead. Well, we already learned that, right, from reading the other part. They are dead. So who's the they? So if we look at the mem is in the word u'bekarchem, which means, and their cattle. Whose cattle? This is Paro, Vayikra Paro. He calls Moshe in, and he says, but who's going to go? Wait a minute, your cattle and your livestock, they're going to go? He basically is asking a question, and then he says, no, your kids can go with you, but not those. He doesn't say not, but it implies not. Therefore, the mem is about their cattle. So obviously, either their cattle or they, the Jews, died. And the tav, which is on the top, is in the word, and the locust part, et b'nei Yisrael. So somehow within this plague, both those plagues, Jews died. How many? We don't know. They told us before four-fifths. Well, let's still assume at least a lot of Jews died. Now, for the next page, I have to wax a little Kabbalistic. I'm sorry. What's the other code? I forgot to do the other code. My fault. The other code is very important. In fact, thank you for reminding me. So the other code is the word Tameh. Why did the Jews die? So they say because they're on the 50th level of Tumah, right? If they were on only the 49th level, in fact, a lot of the Jews were, God says, I love you. I'm taking you out. You did the carbon pesach. I love you guys. You spread blood on the doorposts of the houses, right? That's a gutsy thing to do. You took a god of the Mitzrayim, a sheep, right? And you spread its blood on the doorposts in front of the Mitzrayim? That's gutsy. I mean, I wouldn't do this. I'm going to take, you know, some Arafat's cattle, and I'm going to shecht it in front of him. He'd shoot me on the spot. He'd shoot me before that, just for having a kippah on it, probably. But the point, he's not alive now, right? But the point is, politically, anybody would do this, obviously. And the Egyptians are going to do this to the Jews. Not a good thing to do. It's gutsy. The Jews said, I'm a Jew. Does God need to know they're a Jew to pass over the house? Did you ever think about that? God knows we're Jews, right? Who they are. He knows exactly who we are. We don't have to make a sign. The sign is for us. That we are telling God, we're Jews and we're admitting it, and that's why God was pleased with us. There's a line out there somewhere in Tanakh that says, by your bloods you will live. Which bloods? The blood of the circumcision, which they were to do later, and the blood now of the carbon pesach, right? So therefore, a very important part. So tamei, they were down 50 levels. How do you know that? Look at the word tamei. So the word tamei spelled tet mem aleph, which is worth what? You know? 9? 41. Add them together. What do you got? 50. 50 levels down. Now that's every time you see the word Tameh, because there are 50 levels of Tumah. That's how you know. there are 50 levels of Tuma. That's not my sheet. All right, at any rate, so Tamei is here, it's here twice, and they intersect, remember we talked about intersect before, at the Tet. The Tet is common to the both Tamei. The code skip, let me tell you what it is, I don't know all the ones by heart. The one for Haim mate is 107, it's a big skip. And the one for Tamei, there are two of them, one is 15 and the other is 33. Sometimes the code skips have meaning also. What's 15? Two letters of God's name. All right, 33, I do not know what it is. All right, it's Gam, also. All right, because there's another Tamei. At any rate, Tamei. So the people were down 50 levels. Let me also mention there's another code here that I don't have my sheet on to tell you. I found earlier this morning, but somehow I lost my sheet. Maybe I passed it out accidentally. But let me go on to the No Yisrael one, because that one I know. So the No Yisrael is like this. First of all, I've got to tell you a little teeny bit of Kabbalah, just real quick, on one foot. Here's my foot. Right? So we have, this is the level Keter, right? This is the level Hoffman, this is Bina. I'll write Bina in here. We've got Bina already on a chart. Oh, by the way, you should also look at the picture. I do have a picture. Go to the picture next page with the No Yisrael. They're stapled, but still you can keep them out, trim it together. And that picture is the one we want. Oh, my one doesn't have a staple. Good, it fell apart. Good. Yeah. All right, you have a staple. Yeah, mine doesn't. That's okay. I'd rather not have a staple. Yeah, that's the picture I want. So on the picture, we have all the spherules there, but I don't have the names on all the spherules, just the ones that I wanted to use mainly. But Bina is a very important one. The first line of the Torah is really, because it starts with a big bait. Bereshit, Bara, et cetera. That's the Shemayim Gatharis, right? Big bait. All Torah scrolls have a big bait. Most Chumashim do also. Not all. So big bait. What's the numerical value of bait? Two. So that alludes to a second world. There was a world before this. There's a world before the Torah was even written, which we're not going to go into so much, that world. But the bait here alludes to a second world. Second world of creation says the Arizal and most before Shem that our Kabbalistic say, it's the word of Atzilus, near God, right? That's the world at the beginning of the Torah. In that world, something happened right in the first line of the Torah. And what happened? Which is why we have a second and a third line of the Torah, and et cetera, and the whole rest of the Torah. The world of Atzilus was breaking down. It couldn't handle the light. So seven of the Sfirot from this one, which is Chesed, Abraham's level, all the way down to Malchus, which I already started, I'll just leave it started. All of those seven, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, broke. They broke. Actually, this one didn't break completely on crack. These, all six, actually broke completely. And parts of them, shards of them, clipot from them, and also light from them, shattered. 280 sparks fell into another world. What was the other world? The other world is the world pointed to by Bina, which is known as Berea. So it looks like a world that's a circle, so we'll call it Berea. That's the world of creation. That's the first line of the Torah, Bereishit Bara. Something's being created. Light wasn't created, light was there. God had light with him. So therefore, if it wasn't created, it was only formed. So here it has to be something created. That's Bria. We say it in our davening. What do we say? We say, Bore Hoshek, right? And then we say, the formed word, Bereishit, or, right? We say it when we daven, right? It's a line right in the Shema, right before the Shema. Nighttime Shema. So this is Berea, the world of Berea, and it was formed by something special called, going from here to here, from Atzilus to Berea, from Atzilus I didn't write, to Berea, this world, the first line of the Torah, we have Shevaret HaKeven, which means the breaking of the vessels. The vessels broke. So in this world, there's this world of darkness. Look at the second line of the Torah. So the second line of the Torah says what? Choshek al panei tehom. Right? There's darkness on the face of this earth. What does that mean? That means the darkness that was created here, this is the world of darkness. God didn't want to have a world of darkness, so he entered in beside the stuff that was already falling into it. He put into it the three top spheros that didn't break, which were Keter, Chokhmah, and Bina didn't break at all. So he puts Bina, which is interesting, because Bina is already the pointer to the world anyway. He puts these spheros with their stuff, all the light, in the world, and he adds extra light to make the world somewhat light, like our world is, although our world is way down here. So at any rate, at that point, we have a world of light. How do we know there's light going into the world? By the third pasuk, which is what? By Yomer Elokim Yehior, by Yehior, right? That there was light. And by Yare Elokim Yehior, Kito, the light was good, right? So this is good light stuff, and that's where Israel comes into being. So if that's where Israel comes into being, which I will prove, that that's true before I read the sheet, which just has no Israel on it. So if you look at the sheet with the Sefirot on it, which says Yaakov rectifies the world, and you can read about Yaakov. Not this Yaakov, but your name for him, your name for a great guy, Yaakov. All right. Anyway, so we have the following Sefirot. I wrote Chochmah for the plague of darkness, because that's Keneged. Oh, I forgot to tell you that part, which is important. Part also, let me tell you that first. All the Sefirot, we'll number them. This is not the first Sefirot, that's the first Sefirot. But when God wanted to show the Egyptians and the Jews how he created the world and what he did to make a world and how much trouble, not trouble, but how much effort God himself put into making a world with 10 Sefirot, he undoes the 10 Sefirot in a limited fashion in Egypt. So the first Sefirot is this one. But the first plague is Keneged this Sefira. All of the plagues are Keneged a Sefira, because there's 10 plagues and 10 Sefirot, and the rabbis and the portion, some of them, say that that's the way that is. So the plague of Dam is Keneged in some way the Sefira of Malchus. And the plague of Sfardim, Sardea, is Keneged the plague of, Keneged the Sefira of, what's this, Yesod, Yosef. Sefira. For this one, we have an easy way. Let's count them up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9. This is the plague we're talking about now. The plague of what? Darkness. What's this sefira? Wisdom. But what was created there? What was created there was light. Because the third pasuk is the second saying of creation. Second saying, second sefira, matching the chokhmah. And that's what we're undoing with the plague of darkness. Or at least that's what God is undoing with that. So, and now, plague of darkness is Keneged Chokmah. Plague of locusts is Keneged Bina. That's why I started out with locusts a little bit there. And that's 67. If you look at the gematrias of all those three, Das coming into being right away in the first line of creation because of the fact that Das comes into being there. But only potential, not actual. Actual Das doesn't come into creation till when? Till Adam and Eve eat from the Eitz HaDas Tovara. That's where the word Das comes from, right? Look it up. Eitz HaDas Tovara, we have Das. Now this is my, if you want invention, but it's not an invention because it's just, I found it once. I had, I guess, Ruach HaKodesh or something close to it. And I looked at these numbers and it's unbelievable it's here. Bina is 67 and Das is 474. Das is also equal to the heir of Ra. That's interesting. And when you add Bina and Das together, you get that the Erev Rav is really part of, because they add together to be, it's on the side, left-hand side, 67 and 474 is 541. That's Yisroel. So these two Sefirot at the beginning of creation, at the beginning of the book of the Torah, is Yisroel. We were created with potential then, not really created yet till later on, right? Okay. But we were created then already as a potential, yes.
I understand where Das fits into the
sefirot.
We're saying Das is the top one, or is it still underneath?
Das is a quasi, don't understand, mark it in a dot. It's a quasi-sphera. It's not a complete real sphera. It's created to somehow replicate Keter in a lower fashion, but it was created when, at the beginning of the Torah, because the sphera sakelim, things broke down, and those Sefirot couldn't maintain their integrity, although Keter did, but he stuck Keter because every level of world, Berea also, even Atzilus, all the worlds have the 10 Sefirot in them. But there's an 11th Sefira, but it's only quasi. We don't call it a full up Sefira, but it's like a replica in some fashion of Keter. That's what Das is, and that's why I dotted it. But why it's used, by the way, you know why it's used, but I'm not Lubavitch either, but if you look at what Lubavitch is called, they call their place Chabad. You've heard it, right? So that stands for Chokmah, Bina, and Das. That's the Das. They use it all the time, but also a lot of Jews use it. So Das, 474, that with Bina, if I use those two Sefirot, or that Sefirot and the quasi-Sefirot Das, it adds together to be Yisroel. That's where Yisroel comes into the world. Where it really comes into the world is when Adam and Eve ate from the Eitz HaDas Tovara, which we're going to see in a moment also. But I want to show you more. Das, when you add it to Chesed, gives you, it's on the sheet of the arrow going to the right there, gives you 546. What's that equal to? Yitzhak, Yaakov, and Yosef. We have a sheet to show you why it's them. And then it's also three times Yaakov. That's why I called this Yaakov rectifies the world. Yaakov's the main man. We're not called Abrahamites. Right? We're not called that. He's a great guy. He's the starter of the whole thing. Of course, Abraham, wonderful. Higher level than Yaakov. But yet, he's only the Tati.
And then you got his son, who, Yitzhak, great guy also. But this is Chesed and Gevurah, which we need. But we need a harmony between them. That's the level of Tiferes, which I only have as a naked circle down there. I don't have it actually filled in.
It's the circle right over here. Right? Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferes. Tiferes is in the middle between them.
So therefore, we have here Yaakov being very important, but still based on Das. So somehow Das is important with Yaakov, and it's also important with what? With Bina to give us Yisrael. So Yisrael really has in it two components, a Bina and a Das. But the Das is equal to Erev Rav. Let me do that again. So the Das, this guy right here, which I'm only dotting, not a great drawer, is equal to, I'm going to put down Das. Das is 474, same as Erev Rav. Erva. So we are part of this. This and this give us. So we have a being a good part. And we also have an Arab Rav with us, which we already read. Because what was the Shita there? That 4/5 of the Jews died. So who replaced them? More or less replaced them, Kabyalko. Who replaced them? The Arab Rav. We have good people in our midst, and we also have not so good people in our midst. But then again, let's not forget the Arab Rav. I didn't read it on the sheet, but I could have. I didn't have time. So the Arab Rav are the noblemen of Egypt. These are good guys, in a sense. I mean, they were smart people. They wanted to go wrong with the Jews. Some of them for good intentions, some of them for bad. But they are somewhat good and somewhat bad, because they can be good artisans and help out with the Beit HaMikdash or with the Mishkan or just the Jewish people in general. But they're also no good men, too, because they want to be the rebel rousers. The Egel Hazab, who was the ones that told Aaron that he had to build the calf? It was mostly the Arab Rav, right? This is a classic Midrash. I think it's going to be at the Talmud also. At any rate, so that's who told them that. And also, what's the other big part of the big bad event? The spies, maybe even a worse event than the Egel Hazab. The spies, they brought back the report, 10 good, 2 good, and they followed the 10 bad. Who followed them? The Arab Rav, and some Jews too. And also, who cried for meat? Meat, right? Arab Rav. So Arab Rav has this potential to really undo a lot of the things we do. But don't worry, because that's Yisrael. We have good and we have bad, and we have to. We don't only have an Esav and a Yishmael and other people that hate us. We have ourselves that are self-hating Jews, and we have it in there. Israel is 541, right? Watch this one. It's equal to 4. That's life. Good. The Hoshe. This is not mine, but I did find it independently. But I already saw it was already done by somebody, I don't remember who. But or the Choshech, light and dark is equal to us. We have light and dark. We have good and bad in us, right? Of course, we have the Yetzer Hara. So the whole world, actually, of the Yetzer Hara. But we're supposed to be a light to the nations. So let's go on. So we're going to go back now to the verse, to the part that says...
Why does the Ari say that there is great treasure? They have the potential also for us to do bad there, but why is there... What did Ari only call them a great treasure?
I don't know whether Ari called them that, because I didn't actually know that statement. So that's a good question. I don't know. I'll have to check. Next time I come back, if I do come back, I'll tell you. I'll try to find it. That's what a good teacher does. He says, I don't know the solving of that equation, but I'll find out for you. So I'll find out. I will find out. But I can just say, just off the cuff, that... And I don't know why the Ari would say that, but they're a great treasure because of the fact that we need them. Just like, unfortunately, the world needs an Esav and it needs a Yishmael to make us tzaddikim. We also need the Yetzer Hara, right? When the Yetzer Hara tells you in the morning, it tells me every morning, I'm in bed, I'm tired, it's so, you know, it's hot, I don't want to go daven at shul, come on, I don't want to daven at home, I don't want to daven at all, I want to lie in bed, right? I'm lying in bed and the Yetzer Hara is like, stay in bed, right? That's the Yetzer Hara. But if I get out of bed and I take it to shul with me, or even at home, whatever, then I've done a good thing, and therefore I've reined in the bad. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to rein in the Arab Rav. So on one foot, just real quickly, let me tell you, there we got destroyed, a lot of us, 4/5 of us, in the plague of darkness. So not to belabor the issue, because I really want to go on to another sheet that's way more important than this one. But this is on the plague of darkness. It's actually the last verse of the locust and the first verse of darkness. But in here you have the word ain, and the ain passes through Yisrael. Now, that's not a coincidence. Ain is an easy word to get in code. You can find it all over the place. It's meaningless if you just find the code ain. But if you find the code ain and it goes through Yisrael, and you have the word ain again and all the other stuff that's here in the codes, I'll let you guys look at the codes. So they're listed on the bottom, it tells you. So they're in English. So therefore, read it yourself. You can keep the sheets. Please keep the sheets. I made a full of them. I have spent money, so I want you to keep the sheets if you want to. At any rate, you can use them for airplanes if you really like it. Paper airplanes. We used to do that in class, right? The school, mathematics class, especially. Make paper airplanes and throw them. At any rate, so the first pasuk of the darkness is a gematria, and I want to tell you the gematria rather than the codes. And it's equal to 42 times 73. What's 42 gematria? Bli. Like Bli Neder. And 73 is equal to Chokmah. What's the Sphira that's being undone by the darkness? Undone in a limited fashion. Obviously, not all Jews died, thank God. And no Egyptians died really during it. But they had problems, of course. The Jews saw their wealth. They asked him for their wealth. Afterwards, that may be the great treasure also, because the Jews asked for wealth, and that's part of the wealth that went along. By the way, to answer the question real quick on one foot, also, why was Paro, it said, one of the questions I didn't read was, why was Paro so upset? Maybe I did read it. Why was Paro so upset that the Jews left? It was a done deal. There's planes that didn't like the Jews. We read that also from Rabbi Kirschbaum Bloom. So therefore, why were the Jews, why was Paro upset? Because he lost his big shots. He lost his noblemen, right? If the United States loses Jews, guess what happens in the United States? And by the way, it's already happening, right? Because Jews are coming here, thank God, and like us, and therefore that's a good thing. If we came from the U.S., I guess, some people from England, that'll be a problem for England. We should come. It's going to bring problems to the countries that we leave. Too bad. All right, at any rate, Bli Chokmah. There is no, without Chokmah, there is no Chokmah. It's overturned. And because it's overturned, there is no light into the world of Bria at all. There's not even a Bria. Then in a created world. So therefore, at that point, this world, the world of Atzilus, doesn't even exist at the end of the darkness one in a limited fashion in Eden. So therefore, no light. No Israel. We're like the light, right? We have light and dark. All right, at any rate, we got that sheet. Now we want to go to first day of creation. So please look at that just real quick, 1 foot. And I'll finish in about 5 minutes, maybe less. It says in the second day of creation, you can read all the other stuff I have there, the Sphira of Chokhmah, plague of darkness, that's the line that it is. Vayomer Elohim, Yehi Or, Vayehi Or. Talking about Or, that's the opposite of darkness. That's what God wanted to create. He wants to create with light. He created already darkness, and now he wants to form the light in that world. I said create, I should have said form. The words Vayehi Or, and the next two words of the next pasuk, because that's why I have the underlined dark, one line, single line dark, is those four words, 541, it's on your sheet, Yisrael. We're already in the Torah. We're already in the Torah at that point, because of course we are. Look at the sheet with the spheres on it that I made the picture, and you'll see Yisrael there as Bina and the Erevra. That's already here in the Pasukim of the Torah. The next word, watch this. I didn't say this, I'm going to say it now. Back to the sheet with the picture. I'm not in order anymore here. But anyway, back to the sheet with the picture. You'll see the three spherot, which are Bina, Das, and Chesed. What does it have to be together? 613, it's on the sheet. So Yisrael is two of them with the Arab Rav. And if you add Chesed to all that stuff, you get who? But you get what? 613. That's the mission of the Jews. We're supposed to do 613 mitzvahs. Of course, not all of them. We have a Klal Yisrael to do them, but that's the point. It's Klal Yisrael, everybody. So Vayehi Or, Vayar Elohim, when we have a Beit HaMikdash, Klal Yisrael will be doing, in Eretz Yisrael, of course, 613 mitzvahs. In New York, they'll be doing 242. I don't know, whatever. But the point is, but here, I don't know how many, some subset. But here, as we get to do all the mitzvahs in Yisrael, and we have a Beit HaMikdash, hopefully today, then we'll do that. And 613 is in there also, Et HaOr, right after Yisrael. It's right next to it. This is, I think, if you like it, I think it's amazing. I mean, absolutely amazing. Not because I found it, although I did find it, but I just think it's amazing that God would put all these hints, all these things in the Torah for us to find. Now, the Arab Raj goes rise in 546. I'm going to skip that because I want to get to the last ones. And they were noblemen. The word for noblemen at Seal, I don't even know how to pronounce that, is there. But I want to show you the one that I started with. So, same number of Egyptians who came out as Jews, with the Jews as the number of Jews who died in the plague. That was the Shita. Well, look at this. The word was, and I'll show you the word on the sheet, it's in Pasuk 18. Pasuk 17 was talked about in the Vayehi. And Pasuk 18 is here with Vachamishim. See the Vachamishim word? It's underlined, and it's got a lot of big letters in it. B. bigger letters too, because there's a few codes besides it. It is the word, it's only, I'm underlining it as the word Bachamishim. It means either armed or one-fifth. Says Rashi, it means one-fifth. One-fifth of the Jews came out. It's just interesting that before that word, backwards, we have the word Metim. Somebody died. Well, of course, four-fifths died. That's one-fifth who lived, who went out, four-fifths died. That's not a proof, but watch this one. The Het of Chachamishim is part of a code. The code is Choshech. What's Choshech? The plague where they died, right? So therefore, it's interesting that part of the word Chamishim gives you Choshech, and the other word gives you Shin, Vav, and He. I'm not even sure how to pronounce it, but it means same number. Right? Look it up. Same number. I probably pronounced it. I have no idea. I looked it online. It didn't have vowels. And anyway, I need vowels. So anyway, it's got that word there also. In the word Chamishim, it's like amazing. And finally, the final two pages. This is it. The Arab Rav needs rectification. They're not totally evil. They're a treasure. You just brought that. So you're actually giving credence to what I was saying. We need these people, unfortunately. We got replaced those people to replace the Jews who were down 50 levels. We couldn't have those Jews. They didn't deserve to get out of Egypt. Some say they didn't die, they stayed in Egypt. Okay. But most say they died. All right. The Arab Rav needs rectification. If you had been an Arab Rav, you get Yisrael. We already saw that on the sheet. If you had Chesed to Arab Rav, you get Yitzhak, Yaakov, and Yosef, or three times Yaakov. But if you have, this is the new ones, if you add Mashiach to Erev Rav, you get Eretz Yisrael. So in other words, when Mashiach comes, he'll help all the rest of the Jews to rein in these creeps. They're only creeps because they're not doing the right thing. They're self-hating Jews. You know what we should do? I'm going to mention the name, but please don't talk about her. We should take Livni, not my favorite friend. We should take, she does some good things, but mostly bad. We should take her and invite her to Shabbos dinner. I don't think she'd come, but the point is we should do that because that's what we're supposed to do. I'm not saying I have guts enough to do this, but somebody should do that. That would be a great thing to do. And also, look at Beit HaMikdash. If we add the Beit HaMikdash, and that's the way it's spelled, to the Erev Rav, I don't have the vowels, it's Torah Shemitzah. It's the whole written Torah, this that we're talking about, written Torah. Hamishim in it. That's what we get if we use them in the Beit HaMikdash. We're going to get back the written Torah. Great stuff. If we add the Kabbalah to the Arab Rav, we get the Torah. These are not kwinky dinkies. And if we add Yosef and Malchus, this Sphira and this Sphira where the Mashiach can come from. Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David, right? Is this in this one? That's his Sphira, right? It's David and that. We get what? We get Sarah, Rivka, and Rachel, because the ladies, of course, have to have a little play and a push in here, too. And finally, on the Mashiach. The line in our Pasuk actually says Erev Rav. In our Pasuk, after the plague of darkness, it says, I'll read it in Hebrew and I'll translate, Vagam Erev Rav, Allah itam, Vatzon, Vabakar, Mikneh, Kaved, Ma'od, which basically means, and also mixed multitude, that's what they call it, Erev Rav, mixed multitude, went up with them. And what came with them, their sheep, their cattle, and all their livestock, Kaved, Ma'od, what does that basically mean? Very many, very many went with them. In this pasuk, there are so many amazing gematriot related to the Erev Rav that's right after the word Erev Rav. So you see the Erev Rav, it's right after the asterisk there, which we'll get to. Alei Atam is the gematria, what? 546. I forgot to tell you the whole pasuk. I should say that first. The whole entire pasuk is gematria 5 times 358. What's 358? Mashiach. Why five? Maybe five. Well, so Moses, many reasons for five. But 358 is Mashiach. The whole pasuk is really Mashiach. I'm not saying Mashiach comes from Erev Rav. Clearly not. The Mashiach comes from David, possibly from Yosef, the two Mashiachim, but it does not come from Erev Rav. It's a Jewish person, right? Has to be a Jew from all the way back. Has to be. That's the way the Torah says that about Mashiach when he comes, hopefully today. But why is he here? Because he reigns in the Erev Rav and makes everything good, gives us Eretz Yisrael. So Allah Altam, Itam, is equal to 546. That's our Yitzhak, Yaakov, and Yosef again. Just like we had on the sheet with the spheres. Spheres. Look at that sheet, it's very important here. When the double underlined word sown is added to that one, I only have a double underline, added. It, on itself, I don't know what it is. But when we add it to Allah Altam, we get 693. Three times 231, three times the number of gates in Kabbalah, in the Sefer Yetzirah. Not only that, 693 is also Chokmah And Tetra and Hoffman added together is 693. Amazing. There's another 693 also, just if you want to know. If you add Bina, Das, only the quasi-sphere, and Chesed, remember we got 613 out of that, and then if you add 80, number 2 here, which is Yesod, to that you get also 693. Obviously 80 plus 613 is 693. It makes sense. Alright, anyway, the next one I like even better. When the dashed underlined three-word phrase of Bakar Mekneh Kaved is added, we get 1222. Two Torahs. Of course there's two Torahs. There's the Oran written Torah. That's 2 times 611. 611 is equal to Torah. And finally, the gematria of the eight words. Yeah, between the asterisks. It's all the words in the pasuk except for the first and last. By the way, there's also 10 words in the pasuk. I just realized that now. There's 10 words in the pasuk, but we're taking off the first and last and adding just the 8 and the asterisk with Erev Rav in there. We get 1696. What's that equal to? 4, I don't know why 4, times 424, which is Mashiach ben David. So may it be your will, Rabbanu Shalom, that you bring the Mashiach today for us, speedily, now. We need him. Thank you.
Do you want to ask question? Anyone questions?
Yeah, that's been a very hard work. It was appreciated. On the sheet here was
yes.
Sarah, Rivka, Rachel. Why not Leah? What happened to Leah?
Right, it's true. It is a good point. But Leah, and the only reason that's my thought. 1050 seems to be a number that comes up a lot about Sarah, Rivka, and Rachel. Now, why with Rachel? Certainly she was the favorite of Yaakov, but still, Leah, come on. But Leah on her own, she's on her own in a sense. First of all, Leah was buried with them, and Rachel wasn't. But Leah has Gematria 36. That's like the 36 Sadiqim. So on her own, she already has a special holiness and probably is not loved in here. But that's a guess. I do not know why specifically she's not there. Other questions on gematrias or codes? I'm better at gematrias. Codes has only been over the last 6 years, so.
So devout, you know. You have to think at least a year to get the questions after, you know.
Thank you.
Not so easy.
So think about your questions. I'll come back in a month or whatever you want.
You
want
to share the Russia incident?
Yeah. I don't have a lot of copies. I have one copy right here, which I'll give to you to pass out. It's actually a part of my shiur, but it's okay. I have other copies. So please show them that sheet. That's the sheet. So earlier, last week actually, I can't prove that I did this last week, but it's true I did. On Thursday last week, I was looking at prepare parshas both for you guys, but also for my class yesterday, where I talked about Pesach. That's why I knew a few things about Pesach, as I talked a little about it. But not Pesach Sheni. So when I was preparing this year, I said, well, I'll look up some interesting things about the times. So I look up the date, Tav Shin Ayin Dalet. And I found it twice in Parshas Bo, it's right there on that sheet, in one place. Not that the place was necessarily so important for this year, obviously. That's thousands of years ago when the Torah was written, 5,000 more years ago. So therefore, I looked at the date and I said twice, wonder what that is. And I said, what happened? And then for some reason, maybe it's Ruach HaKodesh or whatever, I thought of the word Rekevet. It took me a few minutes. I tried a few other words first. I tried earthquake, no. And it was there, but not there in that those pesukim. And I tried the word, what do you call it, hotel. There's a lot of hotel bombs, it seems, in Pakistan and stuff. So I tried hotel, it wasn't there, not at that part. And I tried the word Rekevet. And lo and behold, right there, where the two dates same were, it was small skips, an 8 and a 3, I think, is on the sheet. I don't have it in front of me. The word Rekevet was there. I said, train. Something's going to happen to a train. If it's a train, it's not a natural disaster. It's somebody made a mistake. Either the conductor blew it, or they blew it up. So I looked up terrorists. Alimut, without a U, it is coded there. Unbelievable, which means terrorism. So that was there. It's a terrorist act on a train. Where? I didn't know where. I saw Greece, but Greece is easy, Yavan. And I wrote my title, Terror Attack on Train in Greece, for myself. On Friday, I wrote that down in my thing. But Sunday, I knew where it really was. It was in Russia. So as you know, there was a terror attack on a train, actually not train, train station, and 17 people were killed on Sunday, right? Mateem is quoted there a few times, two times in fact, which means it's probably a done deal. On Monday, another attack chaplain on a trolley. The word agala, I found that on Monday, of course, the word agala is also quoted there. So it seems the Torah, obviously, predicts that. The problem is that if you don't know the future, how can you know what to look for that's predicted? So let's say, I'm going to give you a word. The word for the cure of cancer, all cancers, is bobo. It's got my name in it, Bob, right? All right, bobo. I'm making it up. It's not really, of course. Well, if it happens, don't quote me. All right? So bobo is the name of the cure of cancer. But we don't know this now. It's going to happen 2 years from now, let's say. I don't know what's going to happen in 2 years. So therefore, if I find bobo in the Torah, what's it mean to me? Nothing. So I can't talk about it. It's like nothing code. And that's the problem. You got to have something that's like close to you that you know. Now, this one I did in advance. I got to tell you that the Haiti earthquake, I did not predict. But I went on Eretz Sheva. They allowed me on Tamar Yonah to give an interview a few years ago. When it happened, the week after it happened, I looked up the code where we were studying. By the way, Parshas Bo. Where we are now. In Locusts, Haiti is coded. Haiti, it's got a tet, and it's a five-letter code, and it's a small skip. And I said, why is Haiti coded there? Because there was an earthquake. A big tsunami, actually. An earthquake and a tsunami hit the thing. Wasn't it a tsunami?
No, it was an earthquake.
Japan was a tsunami. Right? It was just a big earthquake.
It was actually not that big.
It was not that big. 7.2 or 6.9. But the point is, but in Haiti, that's a very destructive earthquake for them. Like
because
Iran.
Of destruction.
Right, and it did a lot of destruction. Like, thousands of people died in that thing. Like, what was it, 20,000 or something like that?
Right, because the poor building construction.
Exactly, building construction. And so I didn't predict it, but I did at least find it, and she liked it, and she put me on. But I did find the word for cholera. And I told her that cholera was going to come to Haiti. My prediction, because the Torah said cholera. It also said another disease, which didn't happen. But it said cholera with the smallest skip for the two words. So I told her cholera, and I went online saying, cholera's going to happen. I wrote to the WHO, World Health Organization. I warned them in, where are they at? They're, but also warned, they didn't actually write me back, but it was that other organization that did,
CDC.
The one in Atlanta. Thank you. CDC wrote me back, and Center for Disease Control, and they said, interesting, that's all they said. I don't know if they went with the Torah code and Judaism, you know, whatever, but the point is, I did try to warn them that there would be cholera. In October, that earthquake happened around January. In February, I gave this year to Mar Yonah, and I found the word cholera, and I told her, and I told the world. And then in October, somebody from Nepal went to help out with the team and brought cholera to Haiti. So we panned out. I also found the Japan earthquake before it happened, a tsunami. But whatever. These are Torah codes. But I don't do them mostly for prediction. Only when Yaakov or Abraham asked me to. No, just kidding. But I do them because it's just interesting. But it's, everything's in the Torah is what I like to see. Right? Everything. Like the Baal Shem Tov says, every dot and tittle, right?
I personally enjoyed it. I'm sure everybody in the room did. I appreciate you coming.
Thank you.
And I'm going to tell Hanan he better get you on the list again.